We're going to turn to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. We thank God for that account from his words. We've been thinking about living life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the theme today is under the title, Tales of the Unexpected. The reality is that when we follow after Jesus and when we seek to live a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will be able to tell tales of the unexpected. We'll be able to say, "You'll never believe what happened to me." Have you ever told somebody that? You ever told a tale? Say, "You'll never believe what happened to me." A tale of the unexpected. I was here or there, this happened, that happened, and I was not expecting it. Tales of the unexpected. The unexpected happens when we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And 5 points that we're going to go through quite quickly today under these headings. Readiness, reading, reflection, response, rejoicing. Readiness. This begins with Philip. Because an angel of the Lord, we are told, said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Philip had to be ready so that when the Spirit spoke to him, how did the Spirit speak to him? How did the angel speak to Philip? Not sure. Just we have those facts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip. There was some communication, some awareness by Philip that God was directing him. And then we're told later on in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." There was a readiness by Philip to do what God said. A readiness not simply to do what God said, but to hear what God was saying and then to do it. And Philip, quite simply, was ready and willing. He listened and then he went as directed. He listened and he responded to what was said. A life in the power of the Holy Spirit requires those very, very basic elements. And we might say, "Well, I have no concept of what you've been talking about these last few weeks. A life in the power of the Holy Spirit. I am a Christian, I follow Jesus, I have no concept." And I want to say to you that if we are prepared to listen to what God says. And then respond, because that is a completely other thing than listening. Because we can hear what God says and go, not on your Nelly, I will never do that. We will not live a life in the power of the Holy Spirit if we only hear what God says. We must respond. Philip, we're told, in a very simple way, was first of all told by the angel, go to that particular road. He went. And then he saw a chariot. Must have been probably a very posh chariot going along the road. And the angel, and then the Spirit says, go next to the chariot. And it's that readiness to hear what God says and to do what God says. And you say, well, how do I listen to what God says? How do I do it? Well, I can't always tell you how to do what God says. But I know how you can listen. You can read your Bible. In my own experience is by regularly opening up my Bible and reading it and praying, Lord, this is your word. Speak to me today through it. I remember times when I have read a passage of Scripture and I've read it, perhaps a chapter or even two chapters or something, and I've got to the end of reading two chapters and I thought, what on earth is that to do with me? Have you ever been there? Thinking, what is that to do with me? And I prayed, Lord, there must be something. So I've prayed, show me. So I've read it again. And maybe I've read it again. What is there? And I've had to look at it perhaps a different way. There's been something there, some way in which I can hear God and respond. Because that's what God's word is about. It's about giving us life. But that life comes as we listen, as we read God's word, hear what he says, and then we respond to it. Philip was ready to do that. The second R is that of reading. Because we're told in our story there was an Ethiopian, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Well, a couple of questions. Who was this man? And what was he doing? Who was this man? Well, a little bit of study leads us to understand that this man was an official from the kingdom of Moreau, which today is in the Sudan. Let me see if I can... Where's Moreau? There, Moreau's just there. You see it? And it was partly Ethiopia, partly Sudan. But there it is. This is an old Ptolemaic empire, Seleucid Empire. But there's Moreau there. And, of course, Israel's right up there. And he's travelling down back to his kingdom. How do we know he was from that particular kingdom? Well, and there's a close-up as well. It's because the queen of that particular kingdom wasn't known as queen, but was in fact, her title was Candace from that particular kingdom. In the same way that the emperor of Rome was known as Caesar, or the king of Egypt would be known as Pharaoh, and so on. And Candace was the title queen from that particular kingdom. And the chances are, because we know who the queens were, who the Candaces were in that particular kingdom, it was probably this lady. Amantiteri was probably the queen that he served. What we know also about that kingdom is that they did worship Egyptian gods, and there were many different gods that they worshipped. For example, they worshipped Isis, a picture of Isis there, and they would regularly give sacrifice to these gods. Now, I put all that up in order to begin to ask the question, what was he doing? What was this man doing? We're told that he was there in his chariot. He was an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. He was reading the book of the Isaiah the prophet. And here we have, I suppose, the first unexpected. If we discount Philip not expecting to be led by the Spirit into the desert. That was an unexpected thing. He was ready for that. But here we have an extraordinary thing, an unexpected thing, that this man had been to worship in Jerusalem. And I want to say, why on earth had he gone to Jerusalem to worship? Because worship of the Jewish God was not known in his kingdom. They worshipped the Egyptian gods. And there is this extraordinary, unexpected aspect to the story. We are told very clearly he had been to worship to Jerusalem to worship. Now, what was it? Had he been to trade in Palestine? Had he met people previously who worshipped the Jewish God? Had he just by accident been there on occasion? We are told that he had been to Jerusalem to worship. The unexpected. When we live a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, we come across other people who are in strange places. And we say, I don't understand quite how you've got to be where you are. How is it that you have this knowledge of, this awareness of, this seeking after God? Where did it come from? Because of your background, because of your family, you shouldn't be anywhere near God. But you are. And God does the unexpected. And as we live a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, we come across people such as this man, who we're told had been to worship in Jerusalem. The second unexpected thing is the fact that he was reading Isaiah. It was quite rare for people to actually have, in those days, actually have scrolls from the Bible. And it's a testament to this man's wealth. And it may be that when he was in Jerusalem, he was able to buy the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he would have been sitting there in his chariot, scrolling through, reading, seeking to understand. It's an unexpected thing. This man's spiritual journey, we would not have expected him to be where he was. We would not have expected him, because of his background, because of where he was, because of who he was, to have been to worship the living God. But he had. And now he's making this journey home, trying to make sense of what he's been through. So reading the second, thirdly, reflection. This is where Philip goes alongside the chariot and asks, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. I wonder how many times people, not Ethiopian eunuchs, but just people in our lives, our neighbours, our friends, the people that we meet, I wonder how often they're in that place, that unexpected place, where they are making a journey, a spiritual journey. They're on the edge of discovering who God is. They're trying to make sense. And all they need is, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what you're reading? All they need from us is the question, can I help you? Just where you are. This man says, well, how can I? It's incomprehensible to me. And I guess the reality is that for many people, when they come close to the church, when they come close to the Bible, they say, look, I can kind of make sense of it. I understand what the words say, but the overall sense of what it means and what I should do, it's incomprehensible. How can I possibly understand what it's about unless it is explained to me? An explanation was needed, and it was from Philip. Philip was the one who was ready. He had listened to what God was saying. He was ready to move from where he was to where this person was, in an unexpected, strange place, doing an unexpected thing, and Philip is there ready to give the explanation. Well, we're told the passage that he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And that was taken, of course, he was reading from what we know as Isaiah 53. And the question is asked by this Ethiopian, who is it talking about? Talking about himself? Is Isaiah talking about himself? Is he the man here? Is he talking about someone else? It's incomprehensible. He has no way in which to engage with what is just read. And I'm aware that that is true for people sometimes that I meet who ask me questions about the world, about life, about the situation they're in. And they have no way, because of their background, because they know nothing about the Bible, about God, they have no way to connect with what God would want to do. And they need an explanation. They need a helping hand. And Philip is ready to give a helping hand. Now, if you've been watching, something strange has just happened. What's strange? Back to number one. Back to number one and back to Philip. It's back to this readiness thing. He is ready to give an explanation. There was readiness. That was Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, is reading and he needs a reflection. He needs an explanation. And what are we told then? Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. You see, Philip didn't just need to be ready in terms of listening to what God was saying. He didn't just need to be ready in terms of listening and responding to what God was saying. There are some other things he had to be ready with. He had to be ready with a knowledge of God's story. Somebody says to you, can you explain this to me? It doesn't make sense. And you say, well, it doesn't make sense to me either. It's not much help, is it? Somebody says to you, look, this is incomprehensible. And you say, yeah, it's incomprehensible to me too. It's not much help. Philip, we are told, in his readiness, he listened, he responded, but now, because he knew God's story, he'd read the Bible. He knew God's story. He's able not to say, well, I don't understand that passage, but I can tell you about Jesus. He's able to say, look, I'll begin right here where you are. That's the passage I don't understand. And he begins right here in Isaiah 53. And if you read the whole of Isaiah 53, very clearly, in a mysterious way, Isaiah the prophet has had a foresight of Jesus and what was going to happen to Jesus. And Philip is able to begin where this man is, the unexpected place. But he knows God's story. And he's able to explain to someone else what he knows. Now, it seems to me that this knowledge of God's story, it does not drop on your lap. It seems to me you cannot pray and say, Lord, will you please reveal to me God's story? Do you know what God says when you say that? Does he say, look, there, here it is, and suddenly you know it? No. Do you know what he says? Reveal to me your story. Any guesses? Open the Bible. That's what he says. Read the Bible. And I know, right at the beginning of the year, in January and February, I was encouraging you to read the Bible. And I know some of you have been reading the Bible from Genesis. And some of you have had conversations with me about your reading of the Bible. And you say, I'm sure I've read this before. But somehow, because I'm reading from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, I'm reading all the way through, it looks different. I'm setting the whole story in its context. I feel like I've never read this before. Learning the story, the big story of God. Readiness is about that readiness to start where people are, in their unexpected place, and then give to them what they need. So we look back to readiness there. But fourth is response. Well, the eunuch says, I've read the Bible. You've explained it to me. I've understood what I read. And I have to make a response. And I said this earlier about reading the Bible. I read it, I understand it, I make a response. And that should be true of us every time we open the Bible. What does the eunuch says? Say, well, in verse 36, the eunuch said, look, here is water, why shouldn't I be baptized? He wanted to make a response, he wanted to mark, even before he got home to his queen, even before he completed his journey, it was like, right, that's sealed, I know I need to make a response right now. I need to commit myself to this, What's to prevent me being baptized? I want to do it. Here's water. What do you think? Have a look at this. Progress on our spiritual journey is only made as we respond with obedience to what we understand about God and His call upon us. Progress is only made as we respond with obedience. It's only made. You can accumulate all sorts of knowledge about God, but you will only make progress in your spiritual journey as you respond to what God says. For this Ethiopian, he obviously understood that without realizing it. He knew he had to do something to respond. For him, it was about baptism. For us today, it might be about baptism. For us today, it might be a confession of sin. It might be repentance about a particular aspect of our lifestyle. It might be an attitude of heart that is deep within us and we think it cannot change, but we are not making progress on our spiritual journey, so it must change if we're to make progress. So our response, we encounter the Bible, we understand, we make a response. The fifth thing, very briefly, is rejoicing. Joy, happiness, peace, contentment, whatever we want to call it, after we respond with obedience. What are we told? Well, both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Then, what happened next? The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. His heart was changed because he did something physical. His heart was changed because he read, he understood, he responded. Something changed inside. And that is true for you and that is true for me. It is a tale of the unexpected. People in a place they would not expect to be in. Doing things we would not expect them to do. And if all those things are unexpected, then perhaps even the response and the end of the story is unexpected. And it might be for you today. You did not expect to have to make a response in the way in which you're beginning to understand right now that you might have to make. You did not come today thinking, I need to make a commitment to baptism. I need to make a commitment to sort out some aspect of my lifestyle. I didn't expect to come today and encounter the living God who is going to reveal himself to me and ask me to change the way that I am. That I might make progress on my journey. And this will impact our lives. It'll impact our families' lives. It'll impact so many things, so many presuppositions that we've had. But we dare to respond if God is speaking to us. And we're going to end right there. So let's pray over this right now. Father, I pray quite simply that you would grant us your grace, that free gift that we don't deserve, but we know we need something from you, something extra from you, whether it be courage or confidence, clarity. Father, whatever it is, so that we, like this man that we've read about, unexpected things happened all over the place in this story. It might be that for us, Father, we'd do something unexpected, but we will move on in our journey. May your grace surround us and embrace us today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.